Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin and for Maria Bailey, and I'm pleased to be with you sharing a wonderful hour of all things parenting. Before I do, I'd like to mention very quickly our sponsor, Premama. The website is drinkpremama.com, and Premama is the powdered alternative to the awful horse pills that women have to take. And they're necessary, they're good for you, they're good for the baby, but they are gag-worthy. So Premama is a powder that you mix in your favorite cold beverage or smoothie. Smoothies are a fabulous option, by the way. You can barely taste it if you try the Essentials. The Essentials plus DHA formula has a citrus flavor. So either one is a great alternative to the awful prenatal vitamins. And at drinkpremama.com, you can check out all the ingredients. They are vegetarian, gluten-free, doctor approved, and they're made in the USA. To me, that is a big deal. And then two new formulas have just come out as well, and that's the Premama Fertility and Premama Lactation. And it just so happens that August is Breastfeeding Awareness Month. And if you are breastfeeding, you'll want to check out the lactation formula. Again, all natural ingredients, great products from a great company. And best of all, they're available at CVS stores now. So check it out. Go to drinkpremama.com. There is a store locator. You can enter your zip code and find a store near you that carries any of the products, Premama Fertility, the lactation formula, or again, the two prenatal vitamin products. So, and follow Drink Premama as well on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And P.S., they're doing a few giveaways this month because of the new formulas that are now out available. So fertility and lactation are going to be some giveaways on their Facebook page. So check it out. So now let's talk about back to school. It came up fast. To me, the summer went so fast, but it's back to school. And I have a list from my kids' school, a supply list that is as long as my arm for each. And I have three children. So it's going to be a pretty pricey visit to my local store. But it's funny when I went this last weekend because it's tax-free day in Florida. There, I'm going down the aisle and picking up the notebooks and the pencils and that kind of thing. And then the very next aisle, guess what's already out? Halloween candy. I couldn't believe it. They're already displaying Halloween. I just think it's not even Labor Day yet. And here's Halloween candy all over this aisle. So anyway, I was really, that took me back for a minute. I thought, wait a minute, I have to get my kids back to school and Labor Day and then the fall and then Halloween already. So I guess their theory is that I'm going to buy up my favorite candy, which I would because I am a chocolate fanatic, and I will eat it and then have to go back again in another 2 months to put the Halloween candy out on my porch. So anyway, I hope you're getting ready for back to school and your kids are excited. I know my kids are kind of excited, but they feel like the summer went too fast, as I did too. And I know up north, actually Labor Day is kind of the signal of end of summer. So we start a little earlier down south because we don't have the seasons and it's always warm. So I hope you enjoy your back to school season and that your kids are excited as well. So when we come back after this, we're going to be joined by our first guest. And actually, this is Tara J. Frank is our first guest. She is the VP of Multicultural Strategy for Hallmark. So have you ever wondered, you know, who comes up with the card ideas and the creative strategies? And so we're going to find out. So that's our first guest. And then we're also going to talk to a mompreneur. She's a blogger and a business owner. And then we're going to dive into a little a difficult topic of teen addiction with two doctors who have written a book about it. And then we'll also be talking to Amy McCready. She'll talk to us about entitlement, which is a big word I've been using with my kids this summer as we go and take these great vacations. So we'll talk to Amy about are you raising an entitled child if all kids are over entitled? And then to wrap the show, I couldn't believe this, Emmett Smith. He's a Gator, former Gator, I should say, and a Dallas Cowboys running back, a fabulous player. He's going to be talking to Maria. Maria is going to take over that interview. So when we come back, we'll be talking to Tara J. Frank, the VP of Multicultural Strategy for Hallmark Cards. Stay with us.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
We're kicking off Mom Talk Radio with a fabulous guest, Tara J. Frank. Tara is the VP of Multicultural Strategy for Hallmark Cards. And she began her career as a greeting card writer, which I always thought that was, I mean, when you go through, there's just so many different themes and everything. I thought, who are the people that actually write these cards? So we are talking to one of them. And she is actually, she has moved her way up the company and is Hallmark's first African-American female vice president. So that's quite an achievement. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Tara.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So you're actually talking more about... You want to talk about empowerment, and your book is called, you've written a book called Say Yes, A Woman's Guide to Advancing Her Professional Purpose. Tell us a little bit about the book, how long it's been out, and give us a little glimpse into what it's about.
Yeah, that sounds great. The book was actually released on May 1st of this year, so it's only been about 3 months. And I actually wrote it for a couple of reasons. I have always been into leadership development. I've been a leader for almost 15 years now, and it's definitely a passion point for me, just helping women understand what they're good at, what they really want to do ultimately, and how to cross the bridge from where they are to their own professional high ground, as I talk about it. But the other input to why I wrote the book was really inspired by my work in multicultural strategy. So the more I come to understand how the consumer base is evolving and the demographics are shifting, I realize that top companies really do need more women and women of color in decision-making positions. And so I wanted to help women figure out how they can contribute to their companies in more meaningful ways. So Say Yes is really literally a practical guide to help them do that. It helps them identify what their purpose is, beliefs and values, what their differentiated skills are, and then really kind of plan out a path from where they currently exist to where they really want to be and how to demonstrate and give maximum benefit and contribution.
Sounds like it could be someone that's just starting out in a career or someone who's got many years of experience, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've talked about it as a great book for emerging women leaders, but I'll be honest with you, the more women I speak to, and I've been traveling around the country a bit, speaking at different locations, I realize that, you know, there are many people who've been in the workforce for up to 20 years who still have not really taken that moment and that pause to identify what their professional purpose is and to figure out how to make their way there. And I think one of the things I've learned is that it really is never too late. So you're right. It crosses the gamut.
The first thing that I thought when I made that comment was it's rare to work in the same company for mm-hmm. a long-term, you know, relationship, but it's not that common anymore. I'm sure you've been at Hallmark for a while, but I mean, in other words, I think even every time you change companies, even within right. the same career, you still have to reevaluate, take a look at your path set. Is this in your path or do you have to veer off a little bit?
Definitely. So, yeah. It's a new discovery process each time a major change right. comes along.
What are some of the strategies you give women who might need to find that path and make a clear vision of what they want?
Yeah, there are a couple of key principles that really serve as the foundation of the book. The first is there's a lot of internal work that I think we all need to do. I've been surprised by how many women I've asked over the years, you know, what do you want to be experiencing in 5 years? You know, if you could pick and choose, what would you be doing? How would you be contributing? What skills would you be using? And many women still have not really thought about that in depth. So part of the book takes us through an internal discovery process, and it really does ask us, in very practical terms, honestly, to identify our beliefs and values, which ultimately guide our choices, or at least should. It helps you uncover what your purpose is by helping you key into, you know, what are you doing that you would do for free? You know, what do you find yourself doing in your spare time? That kind of thing. And then also helps you really get crystal clear about what sets you apart from other people who are doing the same type of work that you are doing. Because in corporate America, you know, being set apart or figuring out what differentiates you is so important and really helps you kind of cast a vision, you know, that is uniquely you. So there's a lot of internal work there. There's also quite a bit of external work, and that's really where, you know, our networks come into play. The book takes women through four different kinds of mentors and how you can use each one differently, and even how to identify these types of mentors based on people that you know. But it also talks a lot about strategic alignment and how to plug yourself in very thoughtfully into what the most important needs of the company happen to be. I'd say the third leg of the stool is recognizing how creative and powerful we all truly are. I think sometimes we feel defeated. We feel like the environment or the, you know, our circumstances are kind of dictating our outcomes. And so many times we fail to realize how strongly our thoughts and our beliefs about our opportunities dictate our outcomes. And so some of it is in a way spiritual or mental work as well.
With our audience, obviously, in Mom Talk Radio, I think especially being a working mom adds a whole nother dimension to it. And that, like you said, when you feel like you're just kind of almost reacting versus being proactive in your path. So
I do talk about that too. I have six children in the book about balance and, you know, what that really means and some of the choices we make.
Yeah. That was my next question. Do you have children? Because it really is, that's a whole nother dimension to the working world. So, wow, that's fascinating. So we only have about a minute left, and we could have a whole other subject on working moms. Your website, let me just say it really quickly, tarajfrank.com, and that's tarajayefrank.com. You work with Maya Angelou at Hallmark. Did she give us in like 30 seconds just something that she's such an inspiration to so many of us. What was she like, and what did she teach you?
She was amazing. There's a story in the book about her as well. But ultimately, she taught me how to be comfortable wherever I find myself, meaning I am worthy of whatever relationships I end up having the opportunity to develop, the accomplishments I achieve, the places I find myself in. I am worthy of those experiences. And that confidence truly has translated for me in so many areas of my life.
And where can our listeners find your book, Say Yes, A Woman's Guide to Advancing Her Professional Purpose?
Yeah, they can find it on Amazon.com, on BarnesandNoble.com, Books A Million. So a couple of different online sellers, you can find it there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tara, and best of luck with the book, and congratulations. That's a great accomplishment. When we return, we have the spotlight on moms, Trina O'Boyle at OBoyOrganic.com. Stay with us. We're shining the spotlight on moms here on Mom Talk Radio, my favorite segment. We are introducing Trina O'Boyle. She is the mother of two children, 8 and 10, and her website and blog is OBoyOrganic.com, and Twitter's at the same handle, OBoyOrganic. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Trina.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love your website. Your names are so cute. So obviously you are into organic and healthy eating.
Yes, I am. I've been pretty much my whole adult life, and after having children, it just magnified. And then I was able to create a business out of my passion of eating healthy and feeding my children healthy foods.
And so tell us a little bit about the business. What is it exactly that is at OBoyOrganic.com?
So at OBoy, I teach cooking classes in the Philadelphia area for parents and children, and I also offer a personal baby chef service as well. So I do cooking classes, cooking parties, all health-based, organic-based, basically showing parents how easy it can be to feed their families healthy meals every night and throughout the day during the week, during their busy week.
Right. So as we head into the back-to-school season, do you have any tips on, you know, packing that lunch that's just a little bit healthier than what we've been doing?
Well, definitely reading labels would be my first suggestion. When you're at the grocery store, make sure that you have real ingredients going into the lunch boxes, using real foods, unprocessed. It may take a little more time, but in the long run, it will benefit your child. And getting the children involved in the process as well, taking them to the grocery store, letting them choose some healthy options, getting them ready for the school day, asking them, what would you like for lunch today, making them more involved so they feel like they're in charge. But in reality, you have the power because you're ultimately buying the foods that you're putting in their lunch boxes.
Exactly. So interestingly enough, I have an 8-year-old and then two teenagers, but my 8-year-old went to a preschool that was a green preschool, essentially. They had grown their own garden, vegetables, and had everything. There was no paper towels. It was all, hand towels. So she is, of course, a very, very healthy eater, and she'll go for the carrot stick over the potato chip. But just last year, I got her involved in making her own school lunch, and she was so much more apt to eat the food, and she even wanted to go to the grocery with me. So you're right. There's so much more to the involvement of your children in the process, and they have more ownership in it.
Right, absolutely. And I think sometimes when you offer new things and a child turns their nose up to it, you think, oh, well, they don't like that. We'll try something else, or we'll just go back to our old routine. And really, parents need to be patient, because it takes up to 20 times before a child at really any age to develop a taste for a new food. So just keep exposing them to those healthier options, and then eventually they'll come around.
Right. They'll get it at some point. So when you talk about your classes, do you offer recipes that you teach in person? Do you also offer that online?
Yes, healthy absolutely. Recipes? I offer recipes online. I do weekly menu plans. For busy parents, all the meals that I choose, my weekly plans, are easy. They're made with real foods, and they take 30 minutes or less to prepare for the most part, and all organic-based.
Oh, that's fabulous. So it's ohboyorganic.com, and we only have about a minute left. What do you say to the people who think that organic is too expensive? That's been a big issue, I know, when you talk about eating healthy and organic and going to those kind of if you're on a budget, how do you
feed? Right, absolutely. And I'm on a budget myself. So my family of four, I try to keep our weekly grocery bill to $150, and we buy pretty much everything organic, and just really being mindful of what you're choosing in the grocery store. Instead of choosing processed foods, choose the real foods and make that menu plan before you go to the grocery store, so you will help you stay on track and just continue to be mindful of what you're choosing when you're buying food for your family.
Right. I think the menu planning, you're right, that's a key for me, just knowing what I'm having, and then I don't also splurge at the end of my grocery shopping trip and go, oh, that's easy, let me just put that in the cart.
So. Oh, absolutely. And then finding local resources as well. I think
right.
Most areas have those great local resources that you can help out the local farmers as well as, your own family.
Thank you so much for joining us. Again, Trina O'Boyle's website is ohboyorganic.com, and she tweets at the same. You can find some great tips and great recipes for healthy eating. And when we return, we are joined by two doctors who are going to talk about signs we should look for in addiction.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Welcome back to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary in for Maria, and we're going to delve into a topic that can be just one of a parent's worst nightmares, which is addiction in our children. We are joined by Drs. Ron and Sherry Santasiero, who have extensive experience in education and with over 60 combined years in medicine, and have founded the Sedona Holistic Medical Center, which basically specializes in treating addicted teens. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. So let's start first with you, Dr. Ron. What are the signs? I have two teenagers as well as an 8-year-old. So what am I looking for if I suspect or think there's something going on with my child?
Okay. One of the first things as a parent is a sudden change in their personal appearance. All teens have tried different appearances, but a definite change in their appearance. You may find drug paraphernalia in their possession. If they get an allowance or they have a job, they always have cash flow problems. You know, they're always broke. One of the big ones is disappearance of prescription drugs, or you notice the alcohol's disappearing. The vast majority of addicted teens will go into a house first time and look in the medicine cabinet to see if they can find anything. The other signs would be they have all new friends. You know, they've changed their whole friendships. Their grades go down. You get called from school saying that they're either sleeping in class or intoxicated in class or skipping school. Those are all big danger signs.
Right. So, Dr. Sherry, what do you say about the behaviors that can lead to addiction? And is there a kind of an age when we should really start paying attention, or is there...
Well, I think we need to start educating first ourselves, but children, believe it or not, younger than your 8-year-old, very simplistically and black and white, always beware of drugs. Never take drugs from even a friend. You could become addicted. Very black and white, they're feeling mostly your energy of fear. You want children to be afraid of addiction. They may not know exactly what it is at that age, but they know your energy, and they'll remember it later. With alcohol, we have to be careful. If a child says, "Can I have a little taste of that beer, Mom?" Absolutely not. When you're 21, talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is to watch children, watch a child's behavior when somebody else is not nice to them. Shy children, which is something that's hardwired, often will allow other kids to be abusive to them. It's good to teach any children how to be assertive without being aggressive, but particularly shy children.
That's an interesting point, because so you're saying some personalities are more prone to addiction based on just how they're coping?
Well, it's more of abuse, which, again, if a child is very shy, you might want to spend a little bit more time teaching the child how to be assertive and to not allow other people to take advantage of them. You know, taking their pencils when your child didn't say it was okay, and how to speak to people and other children if they feel uncomfortable with them. If a child is really uncomfortable around even a relative, I hate to say it, but it's common. If they just really, really do not want to be around Uncle Johnny or Aunt Rosie, pay attention to that. Talk to your child. Try to encourage them to tell you why. And more likely they're not going to if something is going on there. But I definitely want parents to pay attention to that.
Right. So, Dr. Ron, you both have written a book called Addicted Teens, Our Lost Generation, and it's an integrative approach to understanding and treating addicted teens. When did you write the book? And tell us what's a little bit about what's in the book.
Okay, it came out a year ago in July, and we wrote it because we had been treating addicted teens for about 10 years and realized there were a lot of misconceptions about addiction. We have been treating 300 to 350 teens and found that it's really a disease. It should be treated the way we treat diabetes and hypertension. It should not be a crime. So we said there's a lot of misconceptions among the medical people, the educators, the police, and if you understand that it's a biochemical abnormality in your child, and about 4% of people have this, so number one, your child is not immune, even if they're a good student or good kids. And number two, we should be having a war on addiction, not a war on drugs, because if we approach this as a disease and educate people, which I think is the great equalizer, then we'll have a better outcome, because prevention is going to be much better than the outcome of once they're addicted trying to treat them.
Right. So your website is Santa Sierra, SantaSierro.com. Where can our listeners find the book?
Well, our book is being sold at Amazon.com through our author site, SantaSierro.com, Barnes & Noble. It is also available in e-format. And also create space. The cells are book as well.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. And really quickly, I think we have about 30 more seconds. So, Dr. Ron, what is my first step if I think my child is in trouble or I notice these signs that you mentioned of change in appearance or paraphernalia and dropping grades, that kind of thing? What's my first step?
The first step is get professional help. A lot of parents think that if I argue with them or take the drugs away, they will get better. They need professional help. In the same way, if you discovered your child was diabetic, you wouldn't try to treat them at home. So that, I can't emphasize that enough.
Right. And is there anything online that's a good resource, or would you call a local resource on the
phone?
You
want to call someone in your area who has experience treating teenagers, because their needs are different than adult addiction patients. And they're sort of a unique subset of people because their brain is not fully developed, so they don't always know right from wrong. And they need to have a special kind of counseling along with medical treatment.
Right. That's excellent advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Drs. Ron and Sherry Santaciero. And again, the website is santaciero.com. The book, Addicted Kids, Our Lost Generation, An Integrative Approach to Understanding and Treating Addicted Teens. A very valuable topic. And thanks so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. When we come back, we're joined by resident expert Amy McCready, who's also written a book called The Me, Me, Me Epidemic. And we're going to talk about entitlement.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I'm pleased to introduce Amy McCready. Actually, I don't need to introduce her. She has been on the show before and is our resident parenting expert. Amy is the author of Me, Me, Me Epidemic, a step-by-step guide to raising capable, grateful kids in an over-entitled world, which I love that title. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Well, thanks for having me, Mary.
So we've spoken before, and I know you've written on all things parenting. So this is a really big topic, and as I said during the break, to fill our audience in, that buzzword, entitlement, just has been on my list because my kids just... I feel like I'm raising entitled kids. What do I do?
Believe me, you're not the only one who feels that way. And in fact, that's how I came to write this book, because I work with parents of toddlers, of teens all over the world, and over again I was hearing these stories, just like yours, of parents who are feeling frustrated about the like you described, like, you know, your kids having so much and not even realizing it, not being grateful for it, but also things like kids expecting mom and dad to do everything, you know, over pampering them, rescuing them, instead of letting them make mistakes, you know, parents feeling like they have to jump through hoops to make their kids happy or make sure they're not bored or, you know, take away any little discomfort or displeasure that they might have. So it's sort of this bubbling over effect that parents are kind of having, and they're saying, we're tired of this, and we need some tools to turn that entitlement epidemic around.
What are those tools?
Well, there are a lot of tools. Sort of stepping back for a minute in terms of, you know, how this happens, the sense of entitlement. Of course, you know, kids aren't born with this entitlement gene. And so it happens little by little over time. But the one thing I know for sure is that this comes from a place of love. You know, these are all good parents who love their people, want the best for them, and it just sort of happens over time. Like that, all of that over-pampering and over-indulging, little by little, we get to the point where these kids are entitled. So there are a number of tools that I teach to parents in the book, but one of the first ones is actually giving kids what they truly are entitled to. And that is our one-on-one, undivided time and attention. And that's one of the things that I've found just in the pace of frantic, busy family life. That's the one thing that tends to fall off the radar, that one-on-one time with our kids. And so that's where I like parents to start, is really filling their attention bucket one-on-one. 10 or 15 minutes a day is all it takes. But just taking that time will create a shift in your child. You will find that they're more cooperative, they're more pleasant to be around, you know, just everything, and you feel better about it. You feel better about your parenting. So that would be the first place that I would start, is giving them that mind, body, and soul time, that thing that they are really, truly entitled to. And then, you know, a series of other tools that start to shift the responsibility. So instead of, you know, parents being in charge of everything, parents doing all the dirty work, the heavy lifting around the house. We're going to shift a lot of that to our kids. Now, your kids are between 8 and 13, right?
8 and 15, right.
8 and 15, okay. So, you know, as we're starting into the school year, this would be a great time to pick one or two things that you've been doing for your kids and shift the responsibility for them to them. So maybe it's packing lunches in the morning, maybe it's laundry, being responsible for due dates and commitments. You know, it might be different depending on your children and then the ages and so forth. But pick one or two things that they can now be responsible for. Make sure that we do the training up front so that they're prepared to be successful, and then turn it over to them and see how it goes. And
right.
Hopefully they'll handle it just beautifully. And if they don't, they'll learn from that too. So it's all good.
And especially, as you said, don't forget the training part. I'm probably guilty of this too, where I just say, okay, well, do that. Put that over here. And, you know, and then I ended up, because I didn't train them, or at least give them some tips or pointers as they're going through this task, whatever it may be, I have to jump in and do it right, you know.
Yes.
And my mother did that to me, as a matter of fact. I remember that. It still drove me crazy. So I have to step back and say, okay, wait a minute, where did I go wrong? And like you just said, training, that's key. Do you subscribe to the theory that kids should have as many chores as their age? Because that's what I've kind of gone by as my template, so to speak. Like my 8-year-old would have 8 tasks. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't, and it's really interesting. I was just thinking through that as you were saying it. That's certainly a guideline that you could follow. The only pitfall that I see is as kids are getting older and they get busier,
right?
You know, to have 10 or 12
yep.
tasks might be kind of challenging.
Yeah.
I usually subscribe to the idea that kids, toddlers to teens, should have tasks, daily and weekly tasks. So the daily jobs would be things like making your bed, keeping your room tidy, you know, feeding the pets, watering the plants, like whatever it is, age appropriately. So they have things that they do every single day.
Right.
And then they have weekly tasks. And those are things that don't have to be done every day, like perhaps it's their laundry or mowing the lawn or, you know, whatever it is. But those are sort of bigger tasks that they don't have to do every day. And then I like to give kids some latitude in terms of when they get that done. So you know your job once a week is to wash the car. You
right.
can do that on Wednesday after school or on the weekends, whatever you prefer. So then they get some variety in their responsibilities. The other piece on that is I don't like the word chores because it just sounds like drudgery. And so I encourage parents to use the term family contributions. So everybody has family contributions. It doesn't
right.
make unloading the dishwasher any more enjoyable, but it does send a powerful message that when you do these things, you really make a difference around here. You contribute. Our family could not function without you pitching in. And that's a really empowering message for kids.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Amy. I know we'll have you back again on the show because we could do a whole other show, the whole show on this epidemic of entitlement. Again, the book is Me, 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 Epidemic, A Step-by-Step Guide to Raising Capable, Grateful Kids in an Over-Entitled World. And it's amymcready.com. That's MCCREADY.com. So we will chat again soon, Amy, and have a great rest of your summer. I don't get jealous often, but Maria is going to take back the mic to talk to Emmett Smith. So that's right after this break.
I love everything about this guy, except for the fact that he played for the Florida Gators. If he hadn't played for the Gators, I'd say 110% I love this guy. He's Emmett Smith, the NFL legend, and he has done just everything from being a Super Bowl MVP player to being on ESPN, Dances with Stars. You guys all know him. And today he's partnered up with Quaker and Fuel Up to Play 60, the nation's largest in-school wellness program, to really get us off to the right start when it comes to nutrition and activity for our children as we go into the back-to-school season. So welcome, Emmett Smith, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. Why is it so important? Like, out of all of the things that you could have wrapped your time around, why that?
Number one, you're right, being a father of five and having a platform that my wife and I both share, we honestly believe that giving back to our community is extremely important. and having the chance to do that and have an impact on young people's lives also is important. And the way that we go about doing it, we believe that exposure is something that can help change a person's life. And so, like someone did for me, Coach Charlie Egger exposed me to the world of construction through his eyes by his ownership of his own construction company when I was 11 years old, sharing with me, showing me how to read blueprints and floor plans of a building and a house and so forth. Those are things that just opened my mind truly to the potential of life without the game of football in it. And so those are some of the things that we try to do within our charity. And being a father of five kids, trying to let them know that you can do more in life with your brain than you can do with your physical body.
Yeah, because not everybody is going to end up being a star running back in the NFL or shaking his booty on Dances with the Stars. So we got to have some backup, right?
See, I think the key to life is having a balance, whether it's eating habits, whether it's sports, too much of sports, or too much of anything can be a bad thing for anybody. So it's the same way with life. If you do one thing too much one way and neglect the other side, then eventually something will break. And when it breaks, you won't have the balance that you need to get back on the right track.
We're a big college football family. My son coaches at Notre Dame, and I'm going to quote you tonight when all I hear is football talk at the table. I'm going to go, you know, today Emmett Smith said to me there needs to be a balance when it comes to sports.
I mean, so, trust me, I don't. My wife wouldn't like it, nor would my kids like it if I came to the dinner table at night and talked strictly football every day. I think, I mean, there are opportunities to have various types of conversations, especially around your children. That's an opportunity for us to figure out how their day went and so forth. Things that they are learning.
Can you tell me a little bit about Fuel Up to Play 60?
I have joined forces with Quaker, and you can follow us on Twitter. If you want to hashtag me, you can at MSMF22 at Twitter, and tell us how you fuel up. I think we're looking to share information with one another so we can share best practices across the board in terms of how families are fueling up their kids to get them ready to get back into this next year's school season. And so this program through Quaker has afforded us an opportunity to have a sweepstakes program to where 1 out of 1,000 or 1,000 people will have a chance to win 1,001 pack of Quaker Fuel Pack and have it for themselves. And the grand prize winner will have a chance to win 4 tickets to any game this upcoming season and to chat with me like you and I are talking right now as parents of children. That environment of share with us how you feel for back to school is important because parents now get a chance to see thoughts about how they're preparing for the upcoming school season with their children.
Families start their morning with Quaker, so you've definitely teamed up with the right team there. What is your best advice to a parent who is about to send their kids off to school, let's say middle to high school? What's the best advice? Because at that point, you're thinking, oh my gosh, what else can I tell my kids?
I think the best advice I can say is to be consistent and allow your kids the opportunity to make decisions to see if they're making the right decision, which afford them the opportunity to make a mistake. I think mistakes are important. I think we learn a lot from mistakes as long as the mistake is not catastrophic. I think every child is different. And according to your parenting expertise, you will be able to know the difference between each and every one of your children. And so there are some within my household that I can give a little bit more rope to than others. It's about just being responsible and being consistent in terms of your parenting and having illustrations that can help kids close the gap of responsibility, if you will.
We're going to put that hashtag EmmettSmith22 and a link to the Quaker and Fuel Up to 60 websites. Thanks so much for sharing some of your time.
And that's this show for this week. Maria will be back behind the mic next week. Go to momtalkradio.com for past shows and all of the links to our guests today. Have a great week.